I just don't get paid enough. Because it's the news, but it's according to me. Oh, got a lot of things to talk about today. Back in the office, the main studio. I don't know about you, but I think the sound quality here is better for some reason. Because I don't have a cat jumping around on my roof, crawling up my walls, ceilings, knocking things down. I don't know. It just, for some reason, I don't know why. I can't get the same sound at my home studio that I have here. I don't know why that is. Anybody has an answer to that, please let me know. But I'm working on it. I'm getting it tweaked up. It's getting better. But there's some kind of a tinniness. It's like a ring that I hear in the background when I'm talking from home. I haven't been able to figure that out. I think it might be the stand that my mic is mounted on. However, it's exactly the same stand. But I do have it set up a little bit differently there. That may be, well, that's the only thing I can think of. And everything else is almost identical. The computer is almost the same. The monitor is the same. The secondary monitor. My desk is the same. It's got there's a metal desk that's got all kinds of padding on it. And it's mounted to the same thing. I don't know. This office is a larger room. The studio, this recording area is larger in volume. But it is deadened down about the same. So I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know if it's something in my settings. And I know this is something you guys are all concerned about. Well, between that and what's in my cup. The question this morning is, what is in my cup? Now, the question this morning, actually, is where is my cup? I don't have a cup. I have nothing in my cup. Because I don't have a cup. Well, I think it's... Actually, that's not true. You ever heard of one of these people say, "Well, are you a half full or half empty kind of guy with the glass? Are you glass half empty or glass half full?" I'm a glass all the way full kind of guy, but it's half full of water and it's half full of air. I'm a realist. I'm a guy who's realist. All you see is the water. There's air also in that glass. So you want to talk about science? We'll talk about H2O. And O2, well, it's not just O2, there's nitrogen and oxygen in there. So, because the air we breathe is made up of, not just oxygen, it's only about 20% oxygen. And there's other, minute things in there. But that's the kind of, get these questions about, are you a glass half empty or glass half full kind of guy? Yeah. Well, anyway. So a couple things I want to talk about today. I'm going to jump right to it because I may have to go to lunch with my nephew here soon. I have to. Yeah, he's forcing me to do that. He's probably going to make me pay, actually. Even though he's the rich one. He made a bunch of money on Doge. Well, money. I mean, he made a lot of Doge. He bought it when it was less than a penny. And I was trying to buy it, but, he didn't really take me seriously, I don't think. I wasn't taking myself seriously. I was trying to buy it, and I didn't get it bought. And then all of a sudden... It went to 70 some cents or 80 cents or some ridiculous thing. About a month ago, a little less than a month ago. Which means, if I'd have had $1,000 worth of Doge and it was at, 0.01 of a penny, in other words, 0.000, like 0.001 cents, a tenth of a cent. And it goes to, do the math on that. 1,000 times, 20,000% or or whatever that was. I don't know. It's ridiculous. 70,000%. I don't know what it was. Yeah, let's just say that everybody's account went up real fast right there. I didn't jump in on time. I got into it, you know, a lot lower, a lot lower than that, but a lot higher than what I should have. It's like a penny stock kind of thing. But, you know, what is it really good for? So when you get it, you have to transfer it out into something else. Of course, then you have to pay taxes on all that. Well, you don't have to. You're supposed to. Let's just put it that way. It's all voluntary. You know, taxes are voluntary, by the way. Income tax is voluntary. Unless you're talking to Harry Reid. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the video clip of Harry Reid being interviewed talking about the income tax system in China. They take taxes right out of their check over there. Or maybe it was Russia. I don't know where it was. Some country. They just take taxes right out of their check. They never even see that money. Over here, it's all voluntary. I don't think he understands how taxes work. Not that he's in office anymore. He's irrelevant. But the things he said and did. Of course, and the interviewer guy was like, you mean like the federal income tax, like the federal income tax with withholdings? Well, that's withholdings, but they actually take the taxes right out of their. Well, that's what they do here, Harry. They take your taxes out. Now, technically, you're not paying your taxes until the end of the year. This is where a lot of people, they think that they have to pay withhold. They have to have withholdings done. There's a whole lot of mental mind games going on with the Internal Revenue Service when it comes to income taxes. And we could get into the immoralness of this whole thing, this whole system. But for the most part, I don't want to get into that today. What I would like to talk about is the proposed minimum wage, federal minimum wage of $15 per hour. It's like, here we go again, with centralized government telling everybody all across the country what their economic situation is in their particular part of the country. We're all going to turn into California here before long. You know, million-dollar homes that nobody can afford because they're not worth $1 million, and there was a time in California, not so long ago, where you could get an interest-only loan. In other words, you bought a house, all you did was pay the interest on it, the bank owned it, and you never paid anything on the principal. All you paid was the interest because the principal was so high. And the interest, just paying the interest was so high, it was about the same as, it was about all you could afford to pay, was just the interest. So you paid the interest. Now, of course, the housing value didn't go up high enough in the time you owned it to make up for that. So you're basically, you're buying a home, you're paying interest on a home that somebody else owns. They're holding the deed. You don't get the deed to that. You're paying the interest for them. The bank is making money on you. And then when you go to sell it, it's worth, 2 or 3% more. And of course, in the meantime, you're also paying property tax. So you're paying all this money out to live in a home that you can't afford. And when you get done, you end up in a negative situation. I'm not saying it's bad because you got something in exchange for it. You got to live in the home. Okay, you got a place to live. I mean, if you go out there and just pay rent, you're doing the same thing. But there's this phony illusion that you own a home, and you don't. Now you're responsible, instead of the landlord, for paying all of the maintenance fees, mowing the yard, homeowner associate, anything that you got in there that you have to pay on top of all that, including property tax, that can go up by the time, by the way. If you bought it 1 year and you live there for 2 or 3 years and all of a sudden the property taxes start going out of sight, guess what? That also does something to your property values, by the way. That can make property value go down. There were places in the country that were raising property taxes so quickly that the property values were going down. But the property taxes were going up. People were moving out and bailing because their property tax was so high, it was more than their house was worth. This has happened, and every time it has happened, it has been under, guess who was the ruling party in charge of doing all that? I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. This is the craziness that we have with centralized government. These people in up on the hill up there, protected by the Capitol Police. By the way, none of them were murdered by the overzealous protesters on January 6th. Hillary Clinton, again, just recently tweeted out, and her passion was for the January 6th commission. That they're saying the January 6th event was more shocking and needs to be burned in the public's mind more than 9/11. Now, there are some of you who were not even born yet on September 11th. 2000, maybe this year. Last year. Some of you were not born yet in 2020, or in 2001, 9/11, 2001. There are probably some people listening that were not yet born. You're 20 years old. Almost. And if you were born, maybe you were just a year or two old, you know, that's nothing you remember really. That shocked our nation. Okay, they didn't have to sensationalize it. It didn't require a news media, regardless of what they did with it. Some of them used it to their advantage, and a lot of them loved it because they got coverage, they got numbers, they got all the stuff, you know, going on. But they didn't have to hype that up. They didn't have to make that into something it wasn't. Now, you can argue all day as to whether or not the government was involved and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to get into the conspiracy crap on that. I'm just talking about the actual event that took place, comparing it to what happened on January 6th. In my opinion, these people are despicable and disgusting for doing such a thing. How many people died on 9/11? How much destruction was done? Who did it? Now, I'm not talking to the conspiracy wackos out there. Don't think that you have all the answers to those questions, because you don't know. On its face, let's just take what we know as the narrative is prescribed. 3,000 people die. Two of our nation's largest buildings were demolished. Airplanes and air travel was forever changed. Soldiers signed up to go to battle to strike back at these people. This ideology, this insanity. And many more soldiers lost their lives, which I think is atrocious in and of itself, but that's a whole other story. And they want to compare that. They want to say that that was equal to what happened on January 6th of this last year. Now, I don't care if you're on the right or the left. I don't care which side of the fence you're on about this. If you're going to go along with that and swallow that whole and say that we should, yeah, that's true. Yeah. We agree, yeah. The people who are propagating that kind of narrative, that kind of propaganda is atrocious. It's absolutely insane. And it's disgusting to its core. It should not be excusable to say such things. Especially coming from the likes of some of these congresspeople who were little children during 9/11, who've only read stories about it, who've only heard stories, probably not even read them, probably just heard about them. It's the kind of thing that disgusts me, and it should disgust every American, to hear them talk that way. And then to hear Hillary Clinton come out and say that, and they want to have this commission because they think it's just as bad as 9/11. This is an endless investigation to get dirt. They know what they're doing. They want to empower the deep state again. This is what they do. They empower them to do all these investigations into all of the opposition party. It gives them the rights to FISA court warrants, secret warrants, secret investigations, backdoor stuff, to get anything they can, to make up things if they have to use against political opponents in the future. And this gives them all kinds of pony points. Hillary Clinton, James Comey. In the future, if there's ever a potential for an investigation that they can back away from. Yep, she did all this stuff, but, you know, no reasonable prosecutor would go after her for this. Really? Because there's reasonable prosecutors. There's people sitting in jail for doing things that Hillary Clinton did, that you admit that she did. There are people sitting in jail today for doing far less than she did. Oh, but no reasonable prosecutor would go after her. No. Why, James? Why is that, Mr. Comey? Mr. Morality Teacher. He teaches ethics. That's what he was teaching in college, in a university. Ethics. That's why he would do things and run and jump or jump around and jump through hoops and do things and do backflips and maneuvers to make it ethical for him to do such a thing, because he knew the ethics. He knew how he could get away with it. It's more like how to be a snake in the grass and not let anybody know you're there. So we have all this going on, and now Hillary comes out with this statement that the Republicans are trying to excuse this and be quiet on this issue after the insurrectionists, as she calls it, rioters, whatever you're going to call them, the protesters, killed a Capitol Police officer, Mr. Sicknick, Officer Sicknick. I will not allow her to disgrace his name and his service to our country by saying what she's saying. She's using him as a political pawn, and it's absolutely disgusting. I'm pretty sure he would not approve of it, and he would not feel like his name is being honored in any way to be used as his body was laying in state after another officer was killed by a Farrakhan follower, Nation of Islam follower, killed a Capitol Police officer, deliberately killed a Capitol Police officer, tried to kill two of them, and that officer was not laid in state in the Rotunda. Barely a word after they found out who did it. It's absolutely abhorrent and disgusting to me. But I digress. This was not at all what I was going to talk about today on today's show. Two things I want to cover today before I run out of time. One is the $15 minimum wage thing. The other is the continued flip-flopping and mental gymnastics that the media is playing now on the China virus, the Wuhan lab, and everything that's involved in all of that. We have a an issue, you might say, with the $15 minimum wage. Now, the I don't usually like to give the Democrats much credit when it comes to being smart, because every day seems to be an IQ test for these people. But one of the things I think that they may have figured out, either by default or just by accident, is that the whole purpose of providing for this extra bonus in the unemployment benefits, and I know some of you are enjoying those, some of you actually deserve them, and you know who you are. Some of you do not. Some of you, your industries were devastated by what happened with the government shutting things down. Not business problems, not economic issues, not energy crisis, not as some kind of external thing that the government didn't create. This is deliberate government requirement of shutting down businesses for what we thought at the time was needed to happen. At the time, we all, you know, let's not throw caution to the wind here. Now looking back on it, it was a big mistake, wrong thing to do. However, I'll get into that later. The $15 minimum wage is going to be, it's soon going to be $25. Now, they're trying to get this thing passed. They're trying to get legislation through to get $15 minimum, federal minimum wage across the country. Here's the problem. In California, you can barely live on, there's places in California and New York and some other places in the country where you can barely live on $15 an hour. That's barely a living wage. You have other places in the country where the cost of living is so low that $15 an hour is like a ridiculous amount of money for someone in an entry-level job. Now, for a small business, a mom-and-pop operation that maybe has one store or maybe three or four stores in a little town, maybe they have a restaurant or they have two restaurants, one in one town and one in another in the same area, which I know of some of those kinds of places. They'll have a restaurant and they open up another restaurant, another location, another city nearby, another town. And, or they might own two or three restaurants, but it's not a chain. It's not a big conglomerate. It's not a turnkey franchise. It's not a McDonald's or something that's big that can afford to pay for robots if labor gets too expensive. They can't put kiosks in overnight because they don't have the millions or billions of dollars to do that kind of thing overnight in areas that cost too much to pay for labor. They're already going there. The big stores, the big chains are doing that already. They're already preparing for this. The problem that we have at the moment is that nobody's showing up to apply for work. And yet we are in the middle of an unemployment crisis. We're paying people more because of the devastation. Now, there are some states, there are a lot of states, actually, now I think there's 22 states, I believe, now, that have either implemented or are implementing a retraction of the federal unemployment benefit program. In other words, you're not getting the extra bucks. I think this, right now, it's $300 a week, I believe, extra on top of, I believe it's $300. I can't remember. It might be $600. I don't know what it is. I didn't get unemployment. I didn't get a stimulus check either. I don't need one. I could have needed one, but it was based on what I made in 2019, not how I was affected in 2020, which again is asinine and it's backwards looking, backwards thinking. It's stupid. But the government decides on that kind of thing. So the government decides that $15 an hour, no matter where you are, where you're living, that's the livable wage. And again, stupid. Just like when Fauci came out and said, well, there's 60,000 cases a day. We have to keep wearing the masks. 60,000 cases a day. Okay, so where are these cases? That's not all over the United States. This doesn't just pop up all over the United States. There's hot spots that are responsible for this. And I would pretty much bet on the fact that they're probably blue states because they're ridiculous programs. So we have this issue now of the $15 minimum wage being promoted. Now, there are places in my area where I live that are now offering $25 an hour starting pay for people to show up. Now, these are not, you know, push a button, you want fries with that kind of jobs. These are hardworking, a lot of intense labor, heavy labor, manual labor type jobs, factory workers. Now they're also competing in this area with the RV industry, which is booming like crazy. But they're also looking for help. Those guys are making good money, I know. I mean, if you call it good money, I mean, it's hard work. Don't get me wrong. These guys that are working the line in a factory, you're an athlete. You are working out 8 hours a day. In most cases, it is a busy, busy, high stress, push them out the door job. And especially when they get the orders that they have right now. It is a tough and very competitive job. Marketplace, I should say. The thing that's going on right now is that they're almost making the $15 minimum wage, and I think they realize this. I think they know what they're doing. And so I think that's what's happening here. They are trying to push up. They're trying to keep this in place because they know that it will actually help their cause to make the $15 minimum wage seem minute. Now, here's the problem with all of this crap. Raising the minimum wage does not change the price of a cheeseburger at the end of the day. And what I mean by the price is how much you have to work to buy that cheeseburger. Unless the economics continue to go up, which is like rampant inflation, you will never work your way out of that hole. Because prices will continue to escalate much higher than your wages do. This is another classic case of the government creating a crisis that they're going to swoop in and have the solution for. Well, we can fix this by doing this. The next thing you know, we just have to get rid of cash, get control of all the money. We just have to do this. We just have to do that. Whatever they're going to do. We have to have a government program. There are people stating that there is possibility that Biden has plans. The Biden administration, I should say, Biden has no clue what he's doing. Over the next 4 years, of bringing spending, additional spending, this is over and above, these new bills, introduction of new bills, of close to $30 trillion. Now we're already at four. He's got another bill that's close to $6 trillion. So now we're not even a year into his into this administration yet. I'm going to call it the administration because I don't think Biden's going to be there. In fact, that's something else I want to talk about. I might talk about this in this afternoon's show. About how God sometimes reveals messages to us through little events that happen. And I was thinking about something that happened to Joe a while back as he was going up those steps and he tripped up those steps. I think that there's something there. And I'll talk about that this afternoon in this afternoon's show. But right now, I want to talk about this minimum wage thing and where they're going with that. Now, that's what I think is happening. I guess I've gotten to the bottom of it here. This whole thing with the right now jobs, the job market is having to compete with people making more money on unemployment. So to get those jobs, to get people off of unemployment, they have to offer them more money. I think that's part of this issue. With them coming in the way they are and kind of mandating this blanket extra money on unemployment, they can then turn around and try to level the playing field across the entire United States to make the $15 minimum wage thing kind of a moot point. It'll be real easy because everybody's clamoring for workers anyway. They're going to pay them more than $15 an hour anyway because they have to get them back, which is going to make the cost of goods and services go up. You'll still have to work an hour to buy a cheeseburger. But I digress. So we will move on to the next item on the agenda this morning, this afternoon. It's quickly becoming afternoon. This thing probably won't even be posted until afternoon. I have a full disclosure to make. I took a pause on the audio this morning, and I went and filled up my cup. I heard the water was hot over there. I have this little hot water thing, makes hot water, and I heard it click off. I now have some hot tea. That's what I'm drinking. You can almost tell. It makes my voice. I'll take another sip here. Oh, yeah. Makes my voice become much more creamy. Sort of. I don't know. Not really. I put some honey in there. A little bit of honey. Didn't put any liquefied coconut oil in there this time. That really softens up the old pipes. Makes it work. I want to get into a little bit of this. A little bit about the coronavirus thing. What's going on with that whole thing? And I think it's very critical that we understand some things here, some principles that, you know, if it looks and walks and talks and smells and acts like a duck, it's, according to the news media, it's probably an elephant. Or it doesn't exist at all. This whole coronavirus flip-flop thing, when the one man who has access to an extreme amount of intelligence information, now, there are some things about the intelligence community, I'm talking about all of our intelligence services, we call them, the CIA, the NSA, the BTC, the RM5, whatever all they are. 17 of them, supposedly, are the main ones. There's others. And they have a lot of, you stop and think about it, they have a lot of power. Now, there's the DNI, now, the Directorate of National Intelligence, who is supposed to be the centralized conglomerate of all this information that the NSA, the CIA, and I believe now the FBI is a part of that pool of knowledge gathering basis stuff. It used to be that the agencies couldn't talk to each other. Anything that was going on outside the country, they claim that this was going on with the whole 9/11 thing, that the NSA couldn't talk to the CIA, therefore the CIA could not pass on the information to the NSA that these guys had come into the country and that they were a threat. I call bullcrap on that. But that was the reason we were given. So they had to change the legislation. They had to change the rules so that they could all share information. Well, I have. we were duped on that one. They tried to dupe us on that one. They didn't dupe me because I know better. But they didn't. They passed that off to the public, make it sound like they were doing something very responsible and doing what they're supposed to. Blah, 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 blah. That's not what's going on. If you step back and you take a realization that 90% of what you see on the news and what's happening before Congress and everything else is political theater. If you start to realize that most of this is grandstanding, how am I going to present this? It's going to go fly with the American people. How am I going to present this in a production way to get our message across, to get our agenda, our propaganda, our narrative pushed to the American people so that we can under the covers of this cloak of, and if you don't think this is happening, you're completely blind if you haven't seen this happening. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that, it is a bad thing. The problem is I don't blame you necessarily because the media has been playing us for fools for a long time. I was played like a fiddle for a long time thinking that the news media and the government was on our side, so to speak. And I've had people, when I started waking up to all the stuff that was going on and started saying that we shouldn't trust our government that much, we shouldn't be giving them so much power over us. I was met with quite a bit of resistance from some people, mostly on the left, with their concern that I didn't trust our government. And then all of a sudden, they didn't trust their government when a certain orange man was in charge. So it's, and now they're back to trusting the government again. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Yeah, we're just going to believe whatever they tell us. Keep swallowing the whole. And here's the issue that I have with this whole thing. At the same time, we were being told that the Wuhan lab had nothing to do with it. It was virtually impossible for anything to escape from the Wuhan lab. Well, then that brings up a whole other issue. If that is the case, and if this thing did come from a lab, and it's impossible for it to escape accidentally from the lab, then that means it was done deliberately. If that's where they're going to go with that. Because the actual researchers and the real scientists who understand this thing say that this could not have jumped from animal to human the way it did just because of a wet market that's been in place for hundreds of years. So yeah, you have to understand, the Wuhan laboratory is a level 4 virology laboratory located in Wuhan where this virus broke out. What are the odds? And we were told, of course, now President Trump, when he came out and said that it was, you know, he was suspicious of this thing. And anybody who came out, Tom Cotton came out and said that, we need to look into this. This was over a year ago. Came out and said, we need to look into this and see if Wuhan was, there needs to be an investigation into Wuhan, the Wuhan laboratory. We can't just... But they were lambasted and lampooned by the legacy media because they said such things because they were, you're racist. Everything's racist. Whenever you come up with anything like that, all of a sudden you're a racist. I don't think they even understand what the definition of the word racism is anymore. But it's, we're not saying that we're superior to them. It had nothing to do with the color of their skin or anything else. It's had to do with actions that they took. They didn't do it just because they're Chinese. So, and truth be told, this is the dirty little secret that nobody's talking about at all. If you look different than the Chinese people, this happens all the time in China, from people that I know that go to China. If you go to areas who've rarely seen anyone outside of China, and you have dark hair, especially if you have dark skin, but if you have dark hair, you're tall, all the typical European features, you will typically get laughed at, pointed at, and laughed at. That's just something that kind of goes along with being there. Because you look different. And if you did that here to an Asian person, of course, you're a racist. But over there, apparently you're not. I don't know. Just saying. That's just the nature of people when they see people who are different. It's like children. Children will do the same thing on a playing field, out on the playground. They pick on each other because they're childish. That's what they do. They're children. And they're humans. So I'm getting off into the weeds here, but I'm not saying it's excusable. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's human nature to pick on things that you don't understand or that you're not used to, that are not normal in your world. Okay, so this is kind of complicated, but stay with me here while I follow through on this thought. We were being told all this baloney about the Wuhan lab not being, oh, no, it's impossible, no, Wuhan lab, no, there's nothing, oh, nothing to see here, no, no, Orange Man bad, Orange Man telling us, oh, that he's xenophobic, oh, it's racism. These are the same people who the day after the election in 2020 were telling us that it was the most pristine, perfect election ever. Trump lost, get over it. No recounts, no nothing, we're done. Landslide victory. 81 million people voted for Joe Biden because he's so popular. These are the same people that are telling us all that. We're telling us that there was nothing going on in Wuhan laboratory. And all of a sudden, we've changed our mind on that. The Wuhan laboratory needs to be investigated. And the only reason we didn't trust Donald Trump when he said we needed to investigate them is because Donald Trump lies all the time. That's what we're being told now. So, I digress. This is the kind of thing that I think we need to really understand with regard to the way the media is trying to manipulate us. They will tell us something one day, tell us something different another day, and then say that what they were telling us was for our own good or because of the reason that they were telling us was because of the reason they were telling us. And now they have to tell us for another reason that reason they're telling us was for another reason. Anthony Fauci, I think was probably the epitome of this when he came out and said, it may save a droplet. Yeah, wearing a mask, it isn't, wash your hands and keep your social distance. Wearing a mask isn't that important. Going from there to less than a year saying, well, yeah, of course, everybody has to wear a mask and, you know, another layer, you know, couldn't hurt. All of a sudden to wearing two masks. And we have to keep wearing masks for over a year. And he's saying we have to wear masks into 2022. Because he probably invested in mask. He probably has an investment. I wish somebody would look into this. I'm not going to, but I wish somebody would. I would almost bet you that he's got money invested in a company that produces masks. Somewhere in his portfolio. His billion-dollar portfolio. I would not be surprised at all. To hear the argument between him and Rand Paul on the gain-of-function research thing, he was very, very careful in the way he framed his answers and gave his statements. And he kept repeating the statement exactly almost verbatim because it was rehearsed. I guarantee you. Again, theater. Knowing that question was going to come up, he had to have a way to say it. It was very carefully crafted that it would hold up in court. So I look at all this and I question whether or not, I don't know if the American people are going to wake up enough, if enough of the American people are going to wake up. I don't know. I know that they could. And if they ever did, if the American people really truly woke up and saw what was going on with their country and understood the way they are being manipulated and duped, there would be, they would just put it this way. They would find out what an insurrection is. It's not going to be some people breaking windows and trying to get in and walk around with horns on their heads. So, having said all that, we need to move forward, I think, with understanding of being truly awake, not woke, but really looking at what is going on around us. Not just being able to see it, but to see it for what it is. Because once you see this stuff, you can't unsee it. It all starts to make sense. And once you've asked the right questions, those questions continue to pop up and you continue to realize, okay, there's a common theme and a thread here that keeps working its way through all this stuff. And you can almost anticipate what they're going to do before they even do it. I think that Rush Limbaugh had probably one of the, probably one of the best studies of the left. He always talked about, I know them like the back of my hand or whatever he used to say, and how well he knew them. And, It really is, the thinking is very, very simple. And once you thoroughly, get a grasp of where they're coming from and how they act and how they respond and what their thing is, and you contrast that with the way the founders thought about the nation and how they thought about the people in general and how the nation was supposed to be built, there's such a contrast. And they're trying to slip in underneath this web of camouflage that looks and sounds like. Now, this is, for example, recently Morning Joe went on this tirade, and maybe I'll play this afternoon. I'm going to try to get the audio for you. Because it was a perfect example of, he got all the self-indignant, started going on about how if you don't love this country, you need to leave it. If you don't love the Madisonian principles by which this country was founded, and he was going like on a rant about this. And it was, in his mind, he was pointing it at Trump supporters, at Republicans. He used to say he was a Republican. He's not a Republican. He's never been a Republican. And he went on and on with this whole thing. In the meantime, strangely enough, if you heard this rant without context, without hearing who he was talking to, you would think he was talking to the left. Talking about people who don't like this country, that hate democracy and the principles that it was founded on. Who are you talking to, Joe? You're not talking to, well, you start describing those people. I think you're describing Antifa. I think you're describing BLM. BLM is under some serious, serious scrutiny right now. There are people coming out and speaking out against BLM. There are people who started chapters for BLM who are realizing what's happening. There are people who have stepped out. Breonna Taylor's family, for example. They see what's happening. They're using the blood. It's blood money. They're not paying the Breonna family anything. Now, they may be stepping out there because they realize that, maybe they thought they were going to get some money, so they were going to go along and play the game. And now they realize they're not going to get any, so they're not going to play the game. They're going to step out and criticize them. people can be motivated by some really interesting things. Now, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton were the kings of this kind of tactic. If you don't pay us off, we're going to shame you and tell you, you know, and tell everybody you're a racist. I don't know why my pop filter keeps falling down. That's not what he said. That was me saying that. So it's interesting that we have so much of this going on right now, and the news media is not covering it at all. Now I'm gonna sign off here shortly, and because I really want to get some work done and can do my afternoon show and really kind of lay into some of these things, because there's some spiritual things I want to talk about in the afternoon show today. And how this kind of relates to where we are as a nation and our relationship with God as a nation. Now, I'm a firm believer that denominations are not going to be saved. Jesus didn't hang on a cross for a denomination. And as long as you're a part of that denomination, you're saved. If you belong to the right church that believes all the right things, checks all the right boxes, then you're saved. Doesn't work that way. We're saved as individuals, and we come together as a community, as a body, as believers. So everybody has that experience, that relationship with God that we have. And when we congregate, we bring that relationship with us. That prayer time we had in the closet with Him is brought together in community. The liberty that we have as individuals in this nation is brought together as one vision of liberty for all as we come together as a country. And when that starts getting ripped apart, that principle is no longer valued and honored. Individuals are no longer valued and honored. It becomes which group has the most power, and which group do you want to align with and be with and identify with? That's a very, very dangerous ideology. One in which the world of academia and media are not pushing back against. They are welcoming it and encouraging it. So, having said all of that, I want to talk about that in this afternoon show, which may end up being late in the evening by the time it gets posted. But trust me on this one. It's going to be a little bit more of a show about the spiritual state of our nation. And hopefully I'll have some insights. Once in a while, there might be, I have some nuggets that are worth hanging on to. I'll just leave that there. So Tuesday, June 1st, 2021, we will have another show, and hopefully you've enjoyed this show to some extent. We'll keep reloading and get ready for this afternoon show. Have a great day, everybody. God bless. Take care.